All right. Okay. So here we go. Once again, welcome to Journeys with the, with me, JP. Sadly, Rebecca has lost a close family member, and that was yesterday. So she's not going to be with us today. So I am here to cover again. So there we go. Oh, sorry about that. I've had technical difficulties since about Saturday. And it feels like, you know what it feels like? It's like I'm trying to do a very delicate soldering operation in a van going over a cattle grid. It's like, you know, the general atmosphere of things is turbulent. Very, you know, very hard to keep things steady. Right, okay, now I see. Sorry about that. I had the fader that brought me into the studio, that plays the studio stuff down. Anyway. Okay, here's the thing. If you've got any fabulous insights, you know, because the journey is about the journey within. And right now, you guys should be having some fabulous insights about the nature of the universe. Things are being revealed to you in some way. Do readings change over time? If you've been given 276 or something like that, that could particularly change. Yeah, so depending on, you see, because it's these sixth rays and fourth rays, these are the ones that represent karma. And if you've got too much of the sixth ray going, then you'll have to sit with a sixth ray personality for a while, and then master that using the love quotient. You could try calling that one, but that hasn't worked for me. There are several numbers. That's why there's 310-421-4053. That's Studio B Revolution Radio. And people are sending me irrelevant messages because they don't realize that I'm actually a radio host. Thank you. Or even a producer. So, that's the numbers for, Revolution Radio. There are numbers for Wall Spirit Radio, but I really can't guarantee that they're working. People have been trying them, but, because Microsoft has just eaten Skype and it's having a terrible indigestion, let's say, neither of them work. So if you can try. It's 775-773-3431. Try it. Don't guarantee it. Sorry. You can also try Wolf Spirit Radio on Skype, but I don't think that's going to work. That might work. Jeremy.Peron, that's me. That works. Freedom Scream 2, that might work. There's lots of ways. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. You can use Skype for web, if you like. 257? 275. There are three, while I'm waiting, there are three main soul groups. There's the Ray 6 soul group, which is the excarnating, and there's the Ray 7 soul group, which is the incarnating, and there is the Ray 2 soul group, which is the what's known as the initiates, the those who have, out of all the soul groups, they've gone onto something on the higher path. Excellent, thank you. As Dot is saying, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. So everybody does transform. And when you have, so what is excarnating? It's the opposite of incarnating. It's the sixth ray, what you call the Piscean age, the energy of the Piscean age, which it was bloodthirsty. Basically, the sixth ray is bloodthirsty. It's not satisfied until somebody's bleeding. You know, really. Nobody's answering the 1775. Okay. So as I said, it's pants. Skype, it's not my fault. I bought these things. I've been paying for them. And just when I need Skype to deliver, nothing works anymore. You know, yeah, TJ, we could use cans and string to better effect. Okay, so, look, I'll just put in my Skype thing. If you want to call me. But you've got my Skype. Most of you, I've done readings for, who have actually had it, will have my Skype number. So call in, you want to do that? But anyway, let's just again talk about soul rays. So, there are very few first ray souls. You won't generally meet them, so we don't talk much about them. The second ray souls, those are the people who have been in past lives, monks and learned and adepts and all that stuff. And the second ray is the ray of love, is the ray of the heart. So they've all followed the path of heart because that's the only one true path, which is, you know, to go in through your heart, which is where you find the Christ. You know, that's the whole thing. And those who have will, discover that, you know, when you go there, you're not alone anymore because that's where everybody else is. And you can meet everybody on the frequency of the heart. That's, you know, why they say there's one beat, one heart, one pulse. So, 310 is a number. All right. If you are trying to call in using telephones, it's not going to work unless you give me your telephone and I will call you because I can do that. Because so far, Skype hasn't stopped me doing that. Okay. Please leave a message. Yeah, see, it's bloody useless. Anyway, so, ray two, is the ray of love, and it's the ray of the heart center. And it symbolizes an ever expanding blue sphere. It's nurture, it's teaching, it's healing, it's loving, it's being caring, it's all of those things. It's not devoted. But, you know, it's not a pushover. It's gentle, but it's, you know, it can be, firm if needs be. You know, just like a Mama Tiger kind of thing. Okay, Skype address. Well, the Skype address is Wolf Spirit Radio. Just spell like that. Radio. Wolf Spirit Radio. Yeah, that's right. There we go. That's what JP stands for, you see. Anyhow, Ray 2 is the ray of love. And you see, when you're in the group that they call the body of the Christ, that's what it is. It means that you're one in the heart. We're all one in the heart. We all have the same heartbeat, you know. We can all attune heartbeats to that frequency. Okay. Well, give me your number and I'll call it. But I can't see it on a private message. TJ. See, TJ's working. Yeah, maybe. Don't know. Yeah, TJ, you in there? Yeah. Yay! Hey, mate. How you doing? Hey, babe.
Hello.
TJ, speak to me.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Now we can, yes, there. Intelligible words are coming out. There we go.
You got me?
We have connection.
Okay, just to let me shut off the main one.
Turn the main one off, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Is it going to...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, just sitting out here in the backyard.
So,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hang on a second. Energy wants to come in, and I'll just give her... Yeah, I'll take that telephone number. Okay, and then I'll delete it. So, And then I'll bring her in if I can. No. Where's that? Oh, yeah, that one. People to the call. Yeah, let's bring that one. Huh?
Yeah.
So, how are you doing, TJ? What's news?
Well, thanks for the network cards and stuff.
Very welcome. Are you making something of it?
Well, I have to get them yet. They haven't came yet.
Oh, that's good. So, that's fabulous. So, we're going to have Energy coming in on the phone. There you are. Energy.
Here I am. Yes, this is Susan.
Susan. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
So you're on with TJ Madge.
So you're having fun with computers and all that stuff too? Me too.
Just imagine, like you've got one computer, right? I've got 1, 2, 3 smartphone. Well, I've got at least 3 and I've got at least 4 screens. And they're all doing stuff and, sometimes the one that's in front of me will just like freeze and not work. That happened last night. Mm-hmm. I was just like, nothing that I click does anything. And suddenly I'm like freewheeling and I was like, screw it. I don't give a toss anymore. Just do what you have to do because it's obviously not what I want you to do, but you're just going to have to do it, right? Finish it up and give me control back, please. I don't know whether it's me being interfered with by the powers that be or the powers that used to be or the powers that were, you know, or just that these previously spoken about gravitational waves are actually having an effect on our computers.
Yep. So you know what I do? I take vocal prints. I do the Sherry Edwards vocal profiling stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing that since October, November. I took my first class in October, and it's fascinating. So I'm getting some clients now, and the one thing that I cannot do, okay, so this is what was happening starting last Friday. I would start using the microphone to do somebody's vocal recording, and the microphone would automatically reset itself to zero, just like that. So nothing worked. All the software I have, nothing worked. So we have been through the mill. Now, this is Friday a week ago, so it's been about 10 days I've been doing this. Been through the mill, tried to get rid of the malware and all that stuff, and I finally just gave up, and it's sort of working now on the PC, but what works is the Mac. The MacBook is working. So I can kind of do everything that I need to do mostly on the Mac, and I hope I don't have to use my PC. So there we go. That's
but doesn't NanoVoice run on the PC, or have they got one for the Mac now?
No, it's not on the Mac. A NanoVoice runs only on the PC, that's correct.
Exactly.
So they're also doing a whole lot of stuff on the portal online. And that's been the new thing. They keep updating it every day and keep giving us new stuff every day. And like, oh, what have they added today? What can we do now today that we couldn't do yesterday? So what they're going to be doing soon is adding NanoVoice to the portal. So you can just go right on the portal, do a voice print right there, I think, and do the reading online.
Fabulous. That's even better. Yeah. So you'd be able to just go along to their website and find out your vocal print. You don't have to go to a practitioner. You can find it yourself. Do they charge for their service?
I'm not, yes, and parts of it, I'm confused on that. I'm not up to date on
maybe
the pricing.
Maybe there's some sort of subscription thing that'll
yeah, there is a subscription, and, you know, it's a free 3-day for this, and it's not for that, and I can't keep track of all that stuff. So I'm subscribed right now. And I'm at the practitioner level, so far, the last two voice prints I did, I just took right on my Mac, put them right there on the portal, put it online, and it's incredible what you can see, and you can, what I was doing, right before your show started, I was trying to compare the two voice prints, because they've got them completely analyzed, so how can I match these? I want to see the whole matchup, what everything is connected to, all the muscles and all that stuff.
Susan, just a second.
I'm not sure how you do that.
Susan, just a second. TJ,
Yeah?
TJ, I can hear you just kind of humping and, would you mind muting your mic for a while, and then you can come back in when.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Susan.
So, yeah.
Now I can hear you. It's like, it's been a bit distracting.
But yeah, frequencies, I've been having the same kind of issues. Like,
But the other thing, now, this is very, very pertinent that you came in. See, what I'm trying to figure out is the kind of frequencies that, and you're the perfect thing, speaker for this, is what frequencies are people, emitting in these last few weeks that they haven't been, that is getting everybody else really irritated. Why is everybody irritating everybody else, Susan? Is it coming out in the frequencies that you've been missing? And, you know, am I irritating you doing that? You know, it just seems that everything that I say to anybody is just like, oh God, is what you're doing? You know, it's hard not to trigger anybody today.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't have the answer for that, but I can also tell you that it was, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago? It was on a Wednesday. Whatever it was, 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. The poem that I wrote was about the earth splitting. It really felt like the two earths split apart that day. And the way that I could tell was a relationship that I was in. It was suddenly like, okay, done. And I wasn't informed of that. It was just like, we were done, and that was it. And I didn't get it at first. And it took me a couple days to go, oh, that's what he meant by that. Okay. But it was kind of like, that was my signal that the two Earths have come apart now. And whatever that means for people.
Now, that's another interesting connection. I don't know, were you listening in the last hour or so? Because I just mentioned Dolores Cannon. And her talk about these two Earths splitting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's other things, like, as we all know, have been splitting in our domain recently. So it's all very interesting. Who's going where?
A lot of that could probably be symbolic too, not really going to happen, but you know, like the death card in tarot, it doesn't really mean death.
Correct.
It means that there's a big change coming.
Yeah. One door opening and another door closing.
Mm-hmm.
So in your reading, this is what I love. I mean, you're taking the emotional temperature of people. And, it's a very precise thermometer that you have. It's like almost like a 2D thermometer of, like, you know, different scales of what is hot and what is, you know, emotional heat. So first of all, Susan, are there any predominant frequencies that you can speak of?
That you'd have to look on Sherry's website. She has a weekly keynote that she updates every week. And yes, there are frequencies that are constantly coming into the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all of that figured out and written out for pages and pages every week. So you can look at her website, soundhealthoptions.com, and look for the current keynote.
Hmm. And you don't know what it is just now?
There are lots of them, and I haven't looked at the ones for this week yet.
Oh, all right, okay. All right, so I won't hold you to that. Hold you to that. Tell us.
I have no idea.
Tell us what it is. Tell us what it is. Anyway, yeah, so meanwhile.
I know what it is.
meanwhile, we got frequencies, and people basically, see what I found. Now I've done a few of Shari's style of healing. And I've had, almost like 100% success, depending on what you mean by success, but every time it's eased the distress of the situation,
mm-hmm.
which can make the whole thing a lot more harmonious. And I think really this is what we're here to, not to fix things, but to make things harmonious. Mm-hmm. Which is a very different thing, because that's just making very slight adjustments, very subtle, because you don't have to be. So, for instance, when you give somebody their sound, you're giving a low frequency. It comes in as a kind of thing, doesn't it?
How would I describe it? Every sound, every tone is a little bit different. Every combination of sounds and tones. See, I can give two tones at the same time, and then when those two tones interact with each other, it gives a whole different sound to it. So. Some of them, let's see, I might be able to plug in my tone box to my subwoofer and play a tone for you. I don't know if this will get picked up.
Yeah, it should. Give us the brown note. No, don't give us the brown note.
Yeah. What will I give? I will give you the note that is the most neutral tone there is, which is, she calls it blue sky or sky blue or something.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is the most neutral tone.
That sounds lovely. Blue sky. Mr. Blue Sky. How interesting.
Can we hear this?
Not yet.
Can you hear? Oh, you can't hear it yet.
Is it running now?
It's very low and subtle. I'm going to put it. Yeah, it's running.
Ah, there we go.
Well, that's just rattling. I've got a big subwoofer here. It's just rattling. So I'm going to put the phone right up next to the big speaker thing. Did you hear that?
No, it's cut off.
No.
It doesn't have the...
Yeah.
If we could probably... It sounds probably a little like a cat's purr.
Like a cat's purr. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's very much like a cat's purr.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Or a nice engine ticking over.
Mm-hmm. You know,
like a Harley or something like that. Just,
mm-hmm.
just
very,
kind of
yep.
ticking over nicely. That's why it sounds nice, because it just has that frequency.
Yeah.
That's what
variations of that. It's just kind of like this low hum or purr or something, or like a just like an engine running at a nice little pace. And a lot of times people, when they come and we talk about the tones and I take their voice prints and then they hear their tones for the first time, it's like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. That doesn't sound, it doesn't sound relaxing to me. I don't like that.
Mm.
And the best I can come up with to explain to them is that this is tailor-made to you. This is what your body is needing, and it's working at the brain frequency, it's working in your brain to rewire or rearrange things in your brain. And so it may not feel very comfortable for you in your body. It may not feel relaxing. It may feel like it's excavating or something.
Yeah.
So
when you rebuild the house, you know, it's not a tidy task.
Right.
You know.
So people are sometimes confused and I don't like this. This is not what I was expecting. They're expecting something melodic. They're expecting Brahms or something. It's not Brahms.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not what it's about.
Sometimes the most healing frequencies in this thing sound quite discordant, because what's happening is that you get a combination of tones that is creating heterodynes, which are the plus and the minus of those two tones. So, you know, if you've got a 50 and a 100, so you'd get one of the tones would be 150, and then you'd also get the 50 minus the 100 minus 50, but this is the 50. So those are the side bands. Of the heterodyne. So sometimes if you want to create a frequency that is subsonic that you can't normally hear with the human ear, you use two audio frequencies separated by that subsonic frequency, so it produces the heterodyne that gives you the low frequency that you can't hear.
She's got all that figured out.
Yeah, she's clever.
Believe it.
She's lovely. I've known Shari. I met her in 1995 in Glastonbury when I lived there. And, so we know each other, you know, so, it's just fantastic to see her go through her mm-hmm. process and bring, I mean, she's like a professor. She knows all the frequencies now.
Yeah.
You know, you give her any frequencies, she's like, oh, that'll be progesterone or,
And she's learning stuff all the time, making new connections all the time. That's the incredible thing.
Yeah.
Just completely evolving and changing and growing. And she wants our homework. So that it increases the database, and she gets really passionate about this,
I think that's the idea, really. Is she's primed the pump, but basically, guys, it's up to you. You know, the practitioners who are going to create the what do they call it in homeopathy, a materia medica of sound frequency for the future. You know, and it'll be a database, and it'll be on a smartphone, and, you know, you'll just talk to it, and it'll say, oh, you've got this, that, and this deficient. Go and have one of those, and listen to this, woo, and there you go. You know, shut up.
Bathe yourself in this color. The lady that came in today was having a lot of head pain, and she's had migraines since she was 9, and she's had Botox treatments that have helped, but she still lives with a pain level, from 1 to 10. She's on about an 8 constantly. She recently got a bump to the head and that made things awful. And anyway, so, she'd like to get rid of the pain. She'd like to be able to sleep at night. And I ran through her voice prints, and then we just uploaded them to the computer. And then I've got, a way to look at things to tell her, what notes on the scale she has lots of hits in and what notes she has zero in. And she had lots of hits in a couple of different notes and, nothing in, I think it was D sharp, which is the color of orange. And we talked about that. And I said, what your body is telling you need, what you're missing is D sharp. So you need to have more orange in your life. And she said, well, that's interesting because I have nothing orange.
How interesting. And also, orange is the color of joy.
Yeah, exactly.
Was she miserable?
Yeah, and she's miserable.
Bloody hell.
And she was wearing kind of a subdued, kind of a purpley brown.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she wasn't doing herself any favors.
Right.
With that combination. And you know, that is also the color of the miasms that we get from our families. You know, so she'll have been, you know, really, soaking it up, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, she talked about her dad had the same migraines until he was 20 or so.
So there you go.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So you, basically gave, did you, and was it D-sharp that you actually gave her?
I told her how she could do that. I haven't been able to completely analyze her complete chart yet, but I showed her on the, and this is just the one voice print. We didn't look at the other voice print. She had to go pick up her kids. So we didn't have enough time to look at both of them. But on the one voice print, she needed orange, she needed D-sharp, and she's a musician anyway, so she knows how to find D-sharp. She knows how to look through YouTube and do a playlist and just look for songs in D-sharp, figure out which songs are in D-sharp, and then give herself the note of D-sharp. And I told her also there's a free app that I have on my phone. I just pulled it up. It's called Pano, P-A-N-O, Pano Tuner. And you can pull that up, and that helps you tune a guitar. So you can just pull up or just click on the app, and then it gives you all the tunes or all the tones for all the notes there. And you can hum an A or a B or a B sharp or B flat or whatever. So she could make the tone of D sharp with her own voice, using the Pano tuner, and she can tell if she's, you know, if she's hitting the note on target or not, and just hum that note for herself, and that will help fill in the note that she's missing, and she can do that with her own voice as many times a day as she wants to.
And that is the ultimate. Then you can administer your own medicine with your own voice, just like children have been doing forever. Mm-hmm. It's like we do it naturally. You know, you hear a kid and they go, and they go, and you go, why are you making that noise? I like it. But you see, the thing is, the healing tones for some people are annoying for other family members because right. of this frequency dynamic that we have between each other, don't we?
And, of course, you've heard Sherry's story about how when her father-in-law died, suddenly she couldn't stand her husband.
I didn't remember that. No, hang on. I think she might have told it. But anyway, do you have any stories like that as well?
Well, yeah, actually.
Well, you know, tell us your personal stuff. Because, you know, Susan, I know, we know Sherry, but we don't know you so much. And you are, you know, you are eloquent and you have a... I'm thinking, maybe you can come on and do some mini readings for people as well. That might be a thought. Think about
that.
That
might be a thought.
Yeah.
I will. I'd have to get my PC operating so mm-hmm. that it's actually operating well, because that's where we have Nano Voice at the moment.
Fabulous. So anyway.
But, my personal stories, I live by myself with my dog. I don't have a lot of conflict in my life. So, but what I can tell you, and I've only been doing this since October, what I can tell you is one of my clients from February, she came in, got her tones. We did the voice print. She came back a couple of days later. We did the tone trials and went through all the tones. She liked them. I took the blank spaces out between the tones. I put blank spaces in during the tone trials to test. So that she knows where one tone begins and ends and the next one begins and ends. And anyway, so I gave her the list of tones. She went back and listened to her list of tones on the subwoofer, went home, and typically she said that at this point when she would walk in the door, there was always the opportunity for conflict with her housemates, let's put it that way. And on this particular day, she had just been listening to her tone. She walked in, and that opportunity presented itself again. And her body just said, nope, not interested in doing that. And she kind of went on about her life. And the conflict just didn't, she was like, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to even engage. And she thought this was an amazing thing because for years, she's been telling herself, I've got to stop getting in the arguments here. I've got to get out of this pattern, got to get out of this rut. And she would think it, but she could never do it. And on this day, after her first listening to tone, she was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't even want to. And she just walked on through it. That was it.
Fabulous story.
That really hasn't presented itself since. Another thing that's happened for her is she works in a little store uptown, and she's on her feet most of the day. And with her job, she would typically find herself getting kind of worked up by, you know, she started at 8 in the morning or so. She'd start feeling worked up by about 11 in the morning, and it would feel like you drank too much coffee, and it just kind of, you know, your heart's racing a little bit and you're kind of feeling a little bit anxious and kind of, you know, that, and that would just build up throughout the day, and it would take a while after she'd get home at night for that to kind of simmer down and calm down and relax and get back to normal. So she noticed then that, so her first tones were on Friday. And then she came back on Saturday morning and had her next set of tones that she listened at my house. Then on Monday she went to work. She didn't come on Sunday or Monday because she went to work Monday morning. And she noticed on Monday that feeling that she would normally have come by before lunchtime, before 11 o'clock, it only came up by about 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon, just about as she was ready to leave work. And she came, I think she came after work that day for her tones, and she was like, wow, I have to tell you this. This is amazing. It's never happened this way before. And I think as far as I know now, either that the anxiety doesn't come up for her, or it comes up way late in the day, and then it just doesn't come up much. So that has really, really changed her life.
So
another
this
thing, it wasn't, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, another thing that, she wasn't really trying to work out. What she came for was lower back pain. and a little bit of headache, and what she, and she noticed that, oh well, there's some hand pain and some lower leg pain, like the, like her thighs are really big.
All right, that's sacral center stuff.
Calf muscles are really big.
This is all sacral center stuff, and you can, you know, here's what I always say to people who come to me. I said, it's never what you think it is. It really isn't. And, you know, like people will come, oh, it's my husband. He's like, you know, oh, it's the dog. You know, it's always something that happened to them when they were a child. You know, it's always, and it's never what they think it is. So, your lady with, is this the same lady with the, with the orange? So here's the thing, you know.
No, these are different ladies.
Oh, these are different ladies. So it's different. So, because the, sacral center, that's where all the, those lower back pains come from as well. And that's all, you know, is that the D-sharp center, the sacral one?
I'd have to look at a chart. I don't have that handy.
Okay. All right. I won't press you on your chart.
So anyway,
yeah, anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So I think we got the lower back pain issue addressed. She hasn't said anything more about that. We've got the hand pain addressed. She was having some hand pain like carpal tunnel, you know, just working with a cash register and things like that. I think we've got that pretty well addressed. And she said what she wasn't even expecting this to ever be resolved, because it's just been with her. She's worked on her. Basically, she's been standing on her feet ever since high school, well, when she had her first job in high school. And she's in her 40s, I think. So she expected that the calf pain would just be with her all her life. That's starting to go away, and she was really shocked about that, because we weren't trying to work on that. But, you know, when you do one of these vocal prints, they come in for whatever they come in for. And then what I do is simply address the high highs, the low lows, and then whatever repeats between the two voice prints. And honestly, I don't know a lot of those things that are repeating. I just kind of go by the theory and the protocol and kind of like, okay, let's see how this works for you. Because I don't really know what I'm doing. And I don't have to really know what I'm doing, but it's having really good results. So her calf pain has it's addressing, and the hand pain is going away, and she's not complaining of the back pain, and her conflict issues are being resolved, and she's not even trying to resolve them, and she bought a tone box. How's that?
So there you
and
go.
She's going to give, there you go.
Tell
and
people what a tone
box is.
Susan, tell people what a tone box is, because I know what a SMAT is, but...
Oh, a tone box. Okay. So when I do the vocal print, we have to deliver the sounds in some way. So what I do then is I figure out the numbers. I crunch the numbers, and I put those on a list, and then I program those into some more software that... then there's a little box that's about the size of two iPhones stacked up together, kind of that size and shape kind of thing. And the tones are the numbers that go in there, and that's what we were trying to hear a little while ago, is like this low purr. So I put in 15 to 20 different tones, 10, 15, 20 different tones, depending on the person and what we're trying to address, into the tone box, and then... so then they can listen to their series of tones through the tone box and a headphone, or through the tone box and a subwoofer, however that works. So now she's bought her own tone box. I programmed it with her tones on it. She can listen to it with the headphones. She's gonna try, she's got a subwoofer at home. She's gonna try, setting that up so she can listen on the subwoofer. If you listen with the headphones, you listen for about 3 minutes per tone. If you listen with a subwoofer, it only takes about a minute per tone to listen in various, it depends on what you're trying to resolve with each individual tone as to how long you program the tone box for that tone. So, typically 3 minutes for the headphones, 1 minute for the subwoofer.
So it's like a dose of sound, essentially.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you can walk around, you can do the dishes, listening to your tones, you can walk the dog down the street, listening to your tones, you can go shopping, listening to your tones. I take it with me to go shopping. I do all that stuff, listening to my tones, driving down the highway, whatever.
getting your motor running. So
at least, I've had issues with the tone box. You talk about computer problems. Yeah. I had issues with the tone box. I had issues with all of the software. I got that all resolved. And then the microphone issue. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. What is this? I'd like to know myself. What is this?
You know, this is a $500 microphone, and I just got a brand new cable for it that cost me like loads, because it goes sideways out of the bottom of the mic instead of going down to the desk, and, you know, getting strained on the side of the desk. But the last few days, this thing has just been kind of cutting out as if somebody's just done that.
There it goes.
I did that deliberately with my mute button. But essentially that has been going on. And, you know, I'm like, what the hell? Well, not actually what the hell, but you know what I'm saying. Is happening. And I think just let it happen. You know, it's like time to take a breath. Just let things happen. Nothing's actually going completely wrong. Something's just frozen, but just let it ride. And it worked. It worked eventually. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good.
So, now where were we? Let's see what TJ is. TJ, are you with us? Have you come across any frequency-based healing techniques in the past?
I didn't do too much research into it, but I've seen, you know, different areas and stuff. Like, even in the Bible, it says God spoke the world into the universe into existence.
Exactly.
That's sound.
So, because I'm thinking, you see, I've got this particular thing that is what I've been talking with my guides for the last 10 years or so about, which is about using sound and light and frequency to heal PTSD, which I think a lot of people in the world might benefit from.
I don't know. I don't see why it wouldn't work, I'm saying.
And, you know, I think that Shari's actually come up with programs for, there are particular kind of flavors of her software that can work with PTSD. And the main problem with PTSD is where it all started. And that's in Lyra, which is like millions of billions of years ago. So, and, you know, people are not going to even buy that, are they? So the best thing is to work with the frequencies to try and, as you say, you don't need to know what's wrong with anybody. You just say, look, if I take this frequency and that frequency, average them out, and I get this, and I give them this, what happens? And everybody goes, oh, well, that feels good. Oh, I can feel it release. Oh, that's amazing. How did you do that?
I don't know, but you still got to be careful while you're figuring it out.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, there are frequencies that Susan was saying, you can make a very relaxing frequency like the cat purr, or you can make a very non-relaxing frequency like the alarm bell. You know, your regular alarm clock is designed to be traumatic. You know, you do this to yourself every morning. You know, so we put ourselves in a state of a traumatic shock every morning. Yeah. Who wants an alarm clock?
Yeah. Mm.
Gaz is having a problem. He's trying to speak a bottle of whiskey into existence. The thing is, it just goes back through the same orifice at the same time. Yeah, so, at the same time. So, mop in it. Yeah, inventor tone. Here we go. We need a frequency that cleans the dishes. Now, that doesn't, you know, I'm not sure if that isn't actually quite a good idea. You know how you have, here's an entrepreneurial idea, all right? You know how you have an electric toothbrush that has got a little motor in it that vibrates? Mm-hmm. So, it brushes. How about one that has the particular frequency that if you put water down, creates the most turbulence in the water as you put the brush down and have your brush vibrate with that frequency. The bristles of the brush vibrate with this frequency that simply breaks up any dirt or scum, even without the use of soap, and even may homogenize. Oh, I wonder if there's a frequency which homogenizes oil and water. Imagine how your vinaigrettes are going to turn out there.
I'm just thinking about that that idea, using tones and water and you know, like structured water. Make a little teeny tiny structured water unit as your toothbrush, and then use the tones. And Sherry's got, I just bought her tooth integrity software, and I haven't really done a whole lot with it yet, but she's got the tones figured out for all these teeth and teeth issues and periodontal disease and all that stuff. And I've been noticing also that periodontal disease is the culprit behind a lot of physiological, a lot of illnesses like heart attacks and things like that. You get plaque buildup around your teeth. The same plaque builds up around the arteries. So if we can influence the body to stop building up the plaque around the teeth, if we can break up the plaque there, that should break up the plaque in the arteries, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The other thing is ionic.
If we can...
There's frequency, right? There's also ionic, which is basically your plaque is held on by a charge. And so if you have a brush which, it's got a little metal plate that you hold with your thumb when you're brushing your teeth. So that's the other electrode. And it sends it's got a tiny, tiny little battery in it, which whenever you create the circuit, it lifts the plaque off by creating the same charge on the plaque and on the teeth. And so your teeth end up like pearls, even old cranky teeth like mine. I'll never have American teeth unless I go to Bulgaria or something. every American tooth, people have beautiful teeth, with a lovely smile. And old British people have teeth that are like, look at David Bowie. David Bowie and the real Paul McCartney, they all had like crooked teeth and like, that's because we're, normal people. but anyway. So that's quite interesting. So I believe that by combining the technologies, when I met with Sherry, as I said, in 1995. In 2005, I was in Findhorn and somebody introduced me to the concept of the red light. Have you heard of the 660 nanometer frequency?
No, I haven't.
All right. So everybody's like, oh yeah, 432. Well, there's other frequencies which are brilliant, and the 660 nanometers, that means it's a kind of orange red light, interestingly. Essentially there's a thing called photonic acupuncture. Have you heard of that? Okay. So photons used to pulse in to generate light and energy inside the body. All right. Now, here's the thing. If you take a torch and you hold a torch against the web of your hand, you see there's a kind of orange color that the light ends up shining through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's that kind of orange. Because what it is, it's the frequency of the pulsating light that is pulsed along your nerves. Your nerves don't send electricity. The electricity happens at the nodes when the energy is being passed from one to another. So it's really like a bunch of solar cells, light cells. And it's, signals are passed along, and they're passed along as frequencies, because this is, this is a DC blocking system. It's got capacitors in it that these nodes. So, what you end up with is you're sending light down at a frequency from the brain, and that makes the muscles move and do its thing. So the idea is that, by inserting that frequency at the meridian points, you can kind of flood the system with energy and recharge it. So that's the idea behind photonic acupuncture, and it's just it's basically an LED, you know, because LEDs can be made in any frequency. Well, yeah, more or less. You can buy a specific frequency of LEDs, and there's 660 nanometers, and, you know, you need something like a 1600 millicandle thing. That's the intensity of the light, 16 candles worth. So then what I then have been doing is I built a prototype, which, I've got three sort of heads that come out of it, but basically this is kind of like a SMAD box, but it also mm-hmm. runs a flashing light of this frequency. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And basically, so instead of using sound to get the frequency into the body, you can flash pulse light, and you don't even need to actually mm-hmm. see it. You could have it sort of on a badge that is facing your body, and it'll just pulse. You can put it on your collarbone or something like that, or, you know, some other convenient point. And, you know, LEDs are quite flat these days, so you can it'll just be like a plaster. So you can actually administer the frequency, not necessarily having to use a subwoofer. It's like directly into the body, using light. So, these.
No, I.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, well, finish what you were going to say.
Well, so as I said, 10 years ago, I came across the light, and so by combining the two technologies, using the frequencies and the SMAD type of box, and then taking it a step further, then instead of having to use sound, that uses light and pulses it straight into the body. It's just something I've been kind of developing and playing around with, as well as the other millions of things that I do. But this is the sort of thing that I'm interested in, really.
Yes.
To the end of releasing people from the terrors of PTSD.
Right.
You know, it's pain and suffering that everybody's in a duvet with a hoodie, you know. You know what I'm saying? So, please go on, Susan.
So, I remember, 5 or so years ago hearing Steve Rother, if you know who Steve Rother is. He's a channel for the group. He was talking just kind of, just off the cuff one day, and he said, years ago, 20 years before, he'd been in an emergency room or something, and the doctor in there was telling him about the laser pointers, you know, the little red light laser pointers.
Yeah, they're 650.
Red light laser. Is that what that is?
Red light laser, yeah. 650 nanometers.
If you use
just about.
Red light laser and you've got like a deep cut on your hand and you can't get to the doctor right now, use your pointer. Use your red laser pointer and just point it right there at the injury. And the doctor is saying, That's the best technology there is, and that information is going to be kept from the public because it works. So that's not going to be shared with the public.
So, now, here's the thing.
So Steve was sharing that with us.
Here's how it works. If you, yes, you can use a laser, but, I'll tell you on the other side of this. You're listening to Revolution Radio, a listener-supported station. Please, during the break, go to the freedomslips.com site and click the donate button and stop. Yeah, please, 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 please. Biddly biddly boo. It stopped. Good. All right, so we're on with TJ from the Wolf Spirit Wolf Pack, and also Energy, otherwise known as Susan, also from the Wolf Spirit Wolf Pack, who is incredibly interesting, much more interesting than me, especially me right now, grumbling, mumbling. So, and we're talking about using frequencies expressed, you know, through a machine type device, inserted into the body, into the body somehow, or around the body, or to the body, or at the body, and, creating changes just from frequency alone. Well, like we were saying before.
So how?
Yeah.
How far down the rabbit hole of weird do you want to get here?
Oh, you know me. You know, I like, you know, do you think you could out-weird me?
I think I could give you a good run for your money.
Go on, go on, go on.
All right. So, I listen to, I enjoy channelers and people who do like Dolores Cannon hypnotherapy kind of stuff. So, there's one YouTube channel called, I think it's Allison.
TJ, can you move, please? Thank you.
Anyway, they channel Eric, and then they've gone way beyond channeling Eric.
What? Eric.
Eric.
You mean Eric the ET? No?
No.
Oh, not
Eric,
my Eric.
Eric is a young man who committed suicide a few years ago at age 20.
Oh, that Eric.
And,
go on.
Yes. And his mom has been having channelers get in contact with him. So these ladies were really in touch with Eric, and they started channeling Eric, and then they've kind of gone in other. He's still around, but they've gone in other directions as well. So one of the recent things that they channeled was an alien who is living on a spaceship that landed on Antarctica and is covered by a lot of ice. So this alien is living there today. And he's been living there since before there was an ice sheet over Antarctica.
Have you seen Fight the Future?
Pardon me?
The X-Files movie, Fight the Future. It was about a spaceship that was under the ice in Antarctica. And appeared to be an underground base at first. But then turned out to be a spaceship that took off and buggered off. Anyway, meanwhile, back in reality.
Meanwhile, back to reality. Reed is his name. He wants to be called Reed, R-E-E-D. And they got in contact with him, and he's a botanist. It was very, very fascinating. And then they just uploaded another video, like yesterday. They got in touch with him again. And one of them had asked Reed to heal her of whatever, her hands or something. And she asked if he was, and she was doing this in meditation, and she asked then during the channel, did you do that? Is that what you did? Did you heal my hands? And Reed said that he sent, so this is what he said. He said, all healing has to start with the heart. Because that's where the trauma begins. It's a hurt to the heart. That's where we have to start healing first, is the heart. And then he said that he sent her some inky dark blue energy, and it would take a couple of weeks for that to all permeate through her body, but she would start feeling some really good results in a couple of weeks. And that was interesting. I thought, well, okay, so I can look this up. So I went over to my software on my PC and pulled up GenPro, which is one of Sherry's programs, and I looked up cardiac. I looked up the heart muscle, and I looked up the number, the actual number that is the cardiac, and there were two numbers. One is cardiac itself, and one is cardiac something else. So there's a color wheel that she has that you can look at to see what number correlates with what color. So the first number, the cardiac muscle, I looked at, and that was right at the edge of green and blue-green. So, you know, you always think of the heart chakra as blue or is green or pink.
So this is a sort of turquoise, yes?
This is right at the edge of green going into blue.
Right.
And then the other number I looked up, and that was kind of, I can actually pull it up. It's kind of like the red-violet.
Mm-hmm. Red-violet. So this is the inky blue.
It's violet red. So yeah, so it's just violet red right at the edge of violet and violet red. So when I put those two numbers together, added them together, divided by two, And if you divide that by 2, you get another number. And I looked at that number, the average number, which is, guess what it is? It's real dark, inky blue.
Uh-huh. And is that...
And I thought, wow.
Is that 108?
Is that 108? No.
No?
Sherry's numbers don't correlate to anything that's... And I couldn't even tell you. You'd have to shoot me.
We do not have numbers. I'm going to have to bring on the show and torture her with frequency. Anyway.
Good luck with that. She's not going to divulge that.
There are numbers, there are frequencies that you can give people to, so that tell the truth, isn't there? Like, and you gave us the frequency of scopolamine or LSD or something like that. We will make you speak. We have this and means. Yeah. Anyway.
That's not part of our class, so I don't know the answer to that. Mm. I suppose that you could do ornery things with these frequencies.
Oh,
I would hope that we would not want to do that.
Well, you know, it's been known this, and this is what went wrong. This is what went wrong in the place where this reed guy was before the ice came.
Yeah.
You know, because the ice. You know the reason why there's ice in Antarctica? Because there's a great big asteroid that was thrown at Antarctica, and it's under the ice. And what happens when you throw a rock at a planet? Is that the when you throw a stone, it splashes into water. There's this big column of water that comes up. Yeah, mm-hmm. Imagine that is an enormous column of land goes up into the sky and right into space, and all of the air goes with it. All of the nice warm air goes with it. So all the heat goes away with that big column. And so when you throw a stone at a planet, it freezes. And that's what happened to Antarctica, and that's what happened to Siberia. I would guarantee that there's a similar one in Siberia, because these are old school kinetic weapons. Like stones. It's like just throwing rocks at things. That's what you used to do in the old days, you know. They did have, enormous lightning bolt, thunderbolt weapons and things like that, and flying machines.
There's a fascinating remote viewing session with Farsight Institute, or Farsight Press, I think is the YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
Where they remote view what happened, why did Antarctica, what was Atlantis?
What was the, because it's big. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they saw was that there were people in a, like scientists, in a building, and the scientists, they were in there just doing their thing, and suddenly this big there was a big explosion, and they couldn't control it, and it kind of encompassed the planet, and that was Atlantis. It encompassed the planet, and it threw everything into an ice age. And it was there for a long, long, long time. And that was what started all the tsunamis and land going under and earthquakes and whatever. And it was because of man's error. People were in there just trying to, it was an ego-based thing that they were doing.
Well, it's the first sort of emergence of the ego, isn't it? It's like, this is what happens when you give ego ultimate power, you know. Ultimate stupidity. What could go wrong?
Very fascinating.
Yeah, so
I'd highly recommend that people check that out. That's if you're interested in Antarctica and Atlantis and all that, check it out. Farsight Press.
So there you go, Farsight. I like their. They did a thing on. He did this thing. He said, "What's underneath the thing under the Atlantic, off the coast of Africa?" Because there's all these kind of, it looks like great big scraping lines or something. It's like weird, but it's like, it looks square and, you know, like a...
that's what it was. That was the same thing, yeah.
All right. So this is, and he sees this dome underneath the water. He sees this dome that looks like the sky. And, and he's kind of looking around and it's like, oh, this is, you know, this is kind of... And then suddenly he's like, all right. And then he buggers off. He gets out of there, right? Really sharpish. Do you remember that bit? There's a Dick Al guy.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's looking at this thing, and then suddenly he decides he has a scoot. He has to go. It doesn't say anything. Hmm. But there's a film called Iron Sky 2. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm. I don't do a lot of movies.
All right. Well,
life is too interesting.
Iron Sky. Iron Sky is about Nazis on the moon. And the Nazis, you know that I read this book. I read two books over a couple of years ago that have kind of shaped the focus of what my shows have been about in a way. And one of them was about the history of Atlantis and Lemuria, as viewed exactly through the recollections of hypnotic subjects. What's it called? Atlantis, the Dark Continent. And it's up, it's on my website, and it's in the Wolf Spirit Archives as well. JP reads for you. There's also, so they talked about similar things that as you were saying, you know, the things that happened in Atlantis. But, you know, there were different things that happened at different times. You know, it's like at least three wars.
Oh, yeah.
Where they, you know, almost wiped each other out. You know, things got stupid. But where was I going with all this? Oh, yeah. So the invention of the anti-gravity device by the Nazis in World War II in 1943 that led to the mass production of these devices that took a group over to the moon and have been thriving on the dark side of the moon, which you can breathe air. And the, you know, the idea is that they, you know, in 2018, they come back. Hmm. And that's Iron Sky. But the Iron Sky sequel is not about Nazis on the moon, but Nazis in an underground base under the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a connection here. Which is why Dick sort of, you know, made a swift exit without saying anything. What do you think, TJ?
Well, if you take a look at the end of the last ice age, basically the ice cover melted so fast it rose the ocean levels about 400 feet almost overnight. So I think probably Atlantis might have been the east coast of the United, what's now the United States, and saying it's just under 400 feet of water.
So this is another thing, is the way that the Earth has kind of buckled up and down, creating these deep oceans where they weren't, and, you know, making water levels rise, because it's almost certain. The other way, you know, the other reason, you see, people think that the Earth is a closed system. But there's plenty of water out in space, all as a result of the destruction of Maldek, which is another historical thing that nobody takes into account. Because that's where all the, you know, the whole Fortean thing about fish falling from the sky, is they're all remnants from this exploded planet years and years ago, 120 million years ago, and the pieces are still flying around our solar system and as known as the asteroid belt. And, you know, I've gone on about this as well. The planet Maldek, which was destroyed in a Pleiadian operation, which is essentially, you know, almost like Star Wars, you know, the story of Star Wars, in that Maldek was the control zone for a bunch of Death Stars, basically, and anyone coming through the local jump gate would be instantly ambushed. And so the Pleiadians decided they could do something about that and came and destroyed the base, which destroyed the planet, which made a mess, which sent water into space everywhere, and has been, landing on this planet. So I believe that it's not the ice caps that are melting. It's not about ice caps. It's about water that is coming from space, and gradually, you know, the Earth has accumulated this water, but will expand. So there'll be more, you know, there'll be, I believe that the water levels will drop at some point. What do you think of that? Because the planet's expanding, and with the same amount of water, surely then there should be more space for the water to take, and then, you know, the water levels will go down. and then we might hit some more asteroids with water in them, or meteorites. You know, these things that burn up in the atmosphere leave the water behind. And there's, you know, they have liquid water in space. They call it space water. Noctilucent clouds.
Is that what that is?
Hmm. Very, very high. You know, people say, oh, they're just very, very high clouds. Right. Okay. Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's because they're so high, they're outside of the planetary atmosphere, but they're being lit up by the sun, you know, beaming from the side there. So that's why you see noctilucent clouds sort of in the direction where the sun was, but just kind of they're being illuminated from the back.
Those are the ones that have little, like, rainbow-looking things.
It's sort of like a blue plasmary sort of thing. Kind of wispy, okay. Wispy, what do you call it? Cotton candy. Candy floss sort of stuff. Hmm. Meanwhile, so yeah, where were we? Yeah, this is what I was saying, just before the thing. The key to the laser treatment, alright, is that these light-transmitting cells don't work on DC. So it's useless shining a light constantly into the body because it's not a DC thing. That would be DC, yeah? Direct current. What you have to do is pulse it. And that gets the frequencies in, so pulse frequencies. So that led me to thinking, what if I were to just pulse at the signature frequency of the person? So you would not only get the pulse of the light, that you'd also get the pulse of the light exactly the right signature frequency. This is my thinking. Mm-hmm. It might be worth mulling, and if you're interested, I could build you a device and people could play with it. It would take me a while to build a device. It's based on an Arduino. But I could, you know, I could even just, you know, send you diagrams. Any clever little 15-year-old could make one of these things. No kidding.
My grandson.
Yeah. Yeah, you've probably got one. Ask him, can you build an Arduino, device? And I'll give you all the frequencies.
He's seven, currently. We'll give
seven,
him 10 years to figure that out.
Seven? Yeah. He should be soldering by now. Teach him to solder, I love it. Seven. Work them early, that's why I say. Get them in, you know, because they've got little fingers, they can put these little wires in there, you know. Seven-year-olds, brilliant, man. Tiny little fingers. Great. Anyway, meanwhile. So for me, the idea of dislodging. See, right, here's the thing. PTSD is... from the message from my guides is they say, that there is a kind of scarring that occurs in the emotional body after shock and trauma. Right? And it's that causes the disturbance in the force. Yes? And that somehow using frequency and light in a particular fashion, which I believe I'm describing to you here, we could be able to unlock that scarring, release it and make it spongy again, make it like, you know, it's like being able to take scar tissue. Ah, here's a thing. Have you got a frequency? You don't have to say which it is, but is there a frequency that takes scar tissue and turns it back into normal skin?
There's so much that I haven't explored about this yet. I don't know, but that would be a good question.
Because that's the analog on a different octave.
Hmm.
Makes any sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Hmm. And what I was going to say in return to that was, let me write that down first.
Hmm.
Find a note paper. Scar tissue ?
Oh. Well, Susan.
All right. Yeah, so what I was going to... I'm sorry.
That's okay. Please go ahead now.
Back when I was researching for my thesis, for my master's degree, I was reading a whole lot of Dakota history and Dakota writings. And there was a story in one of their magazines that would come out monthly about, can I remember the term that they called this? When the warriors would go off to battle and they'd be out and they would be killing other humans, and then they would be, the war would be over and they would come back to their village. They couldn't just kind of come back home and be reunited with their family. That was not allowed. What they had to do was they had to sit outside, the village with a shaman or whatever you want to call this person, the psychologist, the tribal psychologist. And they had to spend some time with that person and talk. They had to go through ceremony, probably a sweat lodge, and get it out of their system, get out whatever this was that the memory of killing people, the memory of being in battle, the memory of being threatened that you're going to be killed. You had to kill or be killed, and all that stuff is still with you. That's still very much present. So their idea at that time was that if you brought that into the village, you were going to bring all of that energy with you. So you had
absolutely.
To clear that out before you came. You had to clear that out before you came back with your family. So that's what the medicine person was there to do. And that's what this whole process was about, was to get out, to resolve that issue, to clear if there's any spirits, like the spirits of the people that you had killed. They had to be talked to and addressed and forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of ceremony that had to happen before you were allowed to go see your family again. So that was also, and you think about Native ceremonies, and I've been to Sundance, I've been to powwows, things like that. What Native ceremonies are about is you use some herbs, you use the sage, sweetgrass, cedar, and tobacco. You use drumming. There's those low tones. That's absolutely the low tones. They're connecting with the earth. They're bringing the low tones of the earth up into the person. And then there's the chanting, and that's going to hit all the notes eventually. So drumming, chanting, the herbs, and dancing. The person would probably be dancing out there as well. So you're moving yourself, you're moving the body, and there's also going to be you're going to be drinking some water, some very weak tea. They put different things, probably sage in the water, and so that you're healing inside, you're healing outside, you're healing emotionally, you're healing with sound. I'm not sure that they brought color into that. There are colors that are symbolic, but I can't see that any of those ceremonies would have anything to do with the colors. That's probably the only thing that they're missing. But there's absolutely all those sound frequencies that they were dealing with in every one of the Native ceremonies.
It could also be a connection with the time, because the time, every time has a different color. A long time ago, Rebecca, who, I mean, we have to remember, this is her show, Rebecca asked me to, which is something that her guides asked her, which is, wake up every morning, when you wake up every morning, and, you know, get a pen, write down, what color is today? And I did it for a week. Now, I don't want to front load anybody, but to see if everybody could do it through like a week, 10 days, see if there's a pattern. But what color is today when you wake up in the morning? And see if you can figure it out. It's really interesting. So it may be that the day of the week supplies the color frequency, which is why the timing of ceremony is important. Because the frequency is determined by the time. How about that?
That's fascinating.
Fascinating.
Making a lot of connections here.
Good, good. Yes, indeed. So, I agree with True Magic as well. Susan has a nice radio voice. You know, you could be listened to, definitely.
Well, thank you.
Definitely.
I've got this scratchy sound to my voice. I'm very kind of self-conscious.
It doesn't come out over the telephone, so you're lucky. You are working through a filtration system, which...
That's something that drives Sherry crazy.
Well, you know, there's an advert on Revolution Radio that I actually had to redo. I had to ask the person, would you let me redo your promo, please? I didn't say why, but like people were like trying to gnaw off their own ears, you know, so they didn't have to listen to this thing. So I made a nice version of it. I try to make my world harmonic, you know, particularly if I've got the, you know, able to have the influence, like I can say like, you know, I can make decent promos, you know, let me make them a promo. Bless their heart. So anyway, so bringing harmony to the world using light and color and sound and geometric form as well. Because, you know, geometric forms are the, like, chimer graphs in three dimensions. You know, a chimer graph, what do they call them? Chimatics, yes? Cymatic?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Sound
vibration and bouncing little things on the sound to give you the different...
So you take a drum and then you put powder on a drum and you go into the drum and then the drum goes and suddenly a shape appears. You know, you get a geometric form. The different frequencies produce a different form. At certain frequencies, when you go up to, you can get some really, really high frequencies. And when you look at them, they look, oh wow, that looks like a vertebra. You know, that looks like a piece of ear bone. You know, and you think, ah, maybe we are just sounds and we are just frequencies as they've been telling us for all these thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Have you seen that study, about water? This is about structured water. I saw this about structured water.
Mm-hmm.
There was a German study. They took completely, I guess, distilled water, that had no frequencies in it whatsoever. And, then they would put different flowers, in like different pitchers of water, and all the water was pure and didn't have any frequencies in it whatsoever. So they put a different flower in each one and then analyzed the molecules, after they had put the flower in there for a little bit. And the water molecules then started looking like the shape of the flower. And then they also took this and took their students. Again, they took the plain water, the water that had no frequencies in it, and every one of the students handling the water gave the water a different frequency. So they could tell just by frequency what student had been handling that water. So we all have we all give off different frequencies. Goes back to that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? If you saw that movie back in 10 years ago or so.
Also goes back to the Japanese and Chinese tea ceremony.
I don't know about that.
Well, long story. Hang on a second. Right in the middle of a piece of chocolate. It's my birthday. My birthday week, I'm eating bits of chocolate. I'm getting fat, fat, fat. Now, I've eaten my Borax. It's still not enough. I've got some black seed oil as well. That tastes like, it tastes like eating wood. It's kind of quite interesting. Like kind of liquid wood flavor. Sort of oil thing. Okay. So where was we?
Chinese and Japanese.
The tea ceremony. So a few years ago, I was introduced to this thing called the Tantric Tea Ceremony, which was a very curious moment. I was in the Findhorn Foundation, Grand Universal Hall, as you do, on some Tuesday. There was a Wednesday. Because it was like everybody come and it was, you know, come with your partner or, you know, come on your own, you know, you'll pair up. So there I was, you know, and I saw my friend out there. I said, oh, let's go and do it. And by the way, happy birthday, Karen. It's your birthday, Karen. It's your birthday tonight. So we sat they sat us in pairs and they asked us to sit, cross-legged apart from each other and, opposite each other. And the first thing you do is, you take, you got a cup of tea. A little cup of jasmine tea, you know, the Chinese tea. And a flower. Mm-hmm. And you, first of all, I think the first one that you do is you take the opposite person, both of you take the opposite person's left foot and gently massage their foot. Both of you at the same time. Yeah? And you know, after a short while, you know, you give them their foot back and you get your foot back and you, the other one, and so both feet of both people mutually, massage. So everybody gets their attention. And then, take the flower and you contemplate the flower for a little while and you send love into the flower and again, after a little while, you give the flower that you've imbued love into, to your partner, and they give you yours. And the final part is, you take the cup of the tea, and you impart your energy into the water, into the drink, into the tea. Again, spending a few minutes, you know, sending your own essence into the tea. And then you exchange the tea, and you drink of the other person's essence. And it is the most incredible, experience because, you know, somebody, it's like you want somebody to get you because it's you. It's pure you. It's not like what you look like. It's not what you sound like. It's not what you know, it's you. Mm-hmm. And that's the tantric tea ceremony.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
You know, I've studied conflict resolution. I'm a mediator, and I ran across somebody's phrase somewhere in the last 15 or 20 years, saying that the tea ceremony was a Japanese conflict resolution ceremony. I'm kind of gasping here because my dog is an 85-pound golden doodle, and he's trying to sit on my lap, and he's just a big guy.
Sweetheart, you're not a puppy anymore. Get down.
Try to convince him of that. So the tea ceremony is their traditional conflict resolution ceremony, and I thought that was, and I'd never really known anything more about it than that. So that's a beautiful explanation.
Isn't it? It's just, you know, you're putting your energy into the water. And, you know, I've come across other things. Another one is making structured water. Simple way of making structured water. Or what we call holy water, is you take a spoon and you can do it with your tea, you know. You take a spoon and you slowly stir around the outside, anti-clockwise, counterclockwise. And after a little while and everything's spinning together, you then very quickly in the middle spin clockwise. And lo and behold, you have structured water.
Oh, nice.
Because structured water is simply water that is, that half of it is spinning in one direction and the other half is spinning in the opposite direction, just like DNA. It's a living thing.
Yes.
So it just kind of puts the livingness back into it, which of course is your own essence. You know, I've just spent some of my energy turning this cup of water around. You know, that's my essence and, you know, giving a bit of my spin.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how we do it. And then you can drink that stuff because that, and you can, right. So the next stage is that you can sit there, with your hands either side, and you can put the prayer into it. You can put whatever you like into it. You can put your medicine into it. You know, if you're feeling a bit nauseous, for instance, you could put some anti-nausea settling kind of energy into it. Just ask for it. And and then using your hands, you can project that in there. You know, it's we have magnetite in our hands. That's been measured. That would be influenced by the pulsation of our heartbeat and our blood and all that stuff. Let alone the very low level of light, because all it needs is the light to get to the end of the tube. Doesn't need to be projected out everywhere, so that's why we don't kind of light up. You know, people talk about, you know, the light bodies. Well, you know, you don't need so much. You know, it's a very efficient kind of system, the whole nervous system that sends signals up and down. But I imagine that this, you know, using the frequency of the signature sound of things plus transmitting it along that light frequency could be a winner. You know, you could, because I've got a laser. You know, you were talking about using a laser pointer. I've got a laser right. That can be pulsed at the signature frequencies. Mm-hmm. So it'll, you know, you can actually do that. But it's not, it's a 650 laser. It's not a 660. But it's, you know, like you're saying, you know, the red laser, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I've used that a couple of times.
Oh. So, yeah, so yeah, that's right. It's all about, you can't do it DC. Go ahead, Susan, please.
So, one of the things that I've wondered, you know, now that I'm studying all this, and the idea here is, when you do the voice prints, you want to support what's low in the person's voice by giving them that frequency. So, all right, and you want to tamp down what's too high by giving them the opposite of that frequency. All right. We're born whole, right? We're born with the whole complement of all the colors, all the notes, that's all inside us, I would assume.
You could say that, except some of us have trauma in the womb, so we're not actually born whole, we're born already damaged.
Already damaged, okay.
You know, for instance, your mother might have tried an abortion that didn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I get your idea that we come in kind of pure.
Yeah. So what I'm wondering is how is it that we come up with the too low and the too high? Why does this happen? And how, basically, my bottom line question here is how can we not have to use a program, all Sherry's wonderful programs. How can we just do this on our own? Sing our own songs to ourselves, our own tones to ourselves. How can we heal ourselves? And how can we know what tone we need?
As I said, children know how to do it.
Yes. Yes.
See, and what happens, and this is the problem with this is the whole story of disease, really, is what happens is that the child receives a trauma, and the child has a trauma that it can't recover from because it's frozen the emotional body in this scarring because it's received a shock that it hasn't been able to process. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, what that means is that the frequency that is stored in that shock, you know, because a shock is a frequency. It's like a different frequency from the one you are normally bathed in. That's why it's a shock. That frequency gets stored in the body. And it's possible to release it from the body by allowing the body to shake and to tremble and to shudder and do whatever it needs to do to release the frequencies that it's taken on. You know, if somebody's been shouted at for, you know, for all of its childhood, all of those shouts are stored in the muscles of that person. And that's often why kids are fat.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, it's a verbal abuse that you can't say, oh, you know, there's no obvious abuse going on. You know, but the child is creating a scarring of emotional tissue that's building up a body around. Long story.
I remember a couple of times when I was a little kid getting yelled at or spanked or whatever it was, and I remember sitting there on the back porch and going, okay, that just happened. What do I do with this? Where is this going? What's this going to happen? What happens with this? I mean, I remember as a three-year-old consciously asking that question, how is this going to impact me? And then, you know, it seemed like the world just kind of went on, and no, it didn't stop and say, okay, process this. Let this go, or you know, whatever, work with this and release this, or else it's going to be with you for the rest of your life, and it's going to drive you crazy in ways you don't even know now.
It's why we rock the baby. We give the baby a frequency that is comfortable. We give it back the frequency, the neutral frequency, supposedly, you know. But I've seen mothers rock a baby to still they cry, you know. Like, ah, stop it. You know. But essentially, you know, when mummy rocks the baby, that's the frequency that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So in a way, again, keeping it really, really, really simple, just rock. Just let your body rock, and it will naturally find its own beat frequency that will, you know, rock yourself back to health.
And maybe that's what the sun dance is all about, too, and yeah. Powwow dancing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, people get very dogmatic about how things should be. But I'm very undogmatic about being individual, because everybody, mm-hmm. as you know, and as Shari has demonstrated, that everybody has their own frequency, their own, you know, individual mm-hmm. shade of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not all A, B, and C, you know.
Right.
Some of us are a little below center, and some of us are a little above center. And it's really a lot to do with the birth date, which is fascinating.
Yep.
You know, because, and indeed, this moment. You remember you were talking about this very dark color. One of the other correspondences is the color wheel and the astrological mm-hmm. wheel. And this moment, mm-hmm. this spring equinox, is that moment of red violet. You know, as mm-hmm. violet goes up and becomes red and goes around the spiral and comes back again, is that we come through another cycle of red to violet. And at the point where it crosses over, which is right now, this is the moment of love, according to Shari. Because, you know, we were talking, you know, we had a round table, and somebody came up and said, oh, yes, Len Horowitz says blah, 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 and, you know, this is the frequency of love. And Shari came up and said, actually, no, we measured it, because, like, you know what she's like. And we measured it, and that's the color of devotion. And I was like, yes, yes, you're absolutely... All right, okay, so... the color of devotion is 5 to 8, but the color of love is this indigo blue, not indigo blue, this magenta red, violet red, magenta color. Isn't that interesting? Which is this the color that corresponds with this moment of the year? You know, the March the 18th, 1920th. So mm-hmm. people who are born at this time, people whose birthdays are today and the last few days, have not only starseed connections, but also when they express, their voices will be enjoyed. And it would, you know, they would say, because they like channeling the source. It's the gap. Mind the gap. It's the gap that the source gets in. You know, who's that? Leonard Cohen said, you know, it's where the cracks are that the light gets in.
Ah, uh-huh. And back to the idea of healing and traumas and all that, there's another YouTube channel that I've been watching a lot of. Her name is Alba Weinman, Weinman. She does Dolores Cannon hypnotherapy. And she's got, I'm not sure how many, 100 or so YouTube videos, and they're fascinating to watch. So the idea is a lot of times people will get attachments to them, and I know that Simon is talking about attachments and things like that all the time, and gin, and she hasn't mentioned gin, but people will come up with pains in the feet or a stomach ache that won't go away or migraines that they've had since age 9 or whatever it is. And what Alba is able to do when the person is under hypnotherapy is she'll ask whatever that pain is to come up to come. She has them come up, and hello, can we speak to you today? What is your name? And it will tell her it might be George, it might be Stink Eye or something.
Let's just call themselves Stink Eye. Yeah, let's just call it George, because I love things that call George. Themselves George. Anyway, go on.
And then she will ask, so how long have you been with this client? And it will give the whole story. Where was it that you came, how was it that you came with this person? And there's all kinds of stories. Inevitably though, it comes up because the person, is vulnerable. The person has been, has been spanked.
The person has been traumatized at that moment.
Traumatized, exactly.
That's what happens.
And that creates an opening. It creates, the person becomes vulnerable, and then the attachment says, oh, I see that bad father of hers spanking her all the time. She needs some comfort. I know exactly how that feels because that was what happened with me. I'm gonna go in there and comfort her. I'm gonna do a good thing for her. And then they do a good thing, and then they also do some very bad things, like give them a lot of pain. So then what Alba does is, she'll talk to them and say, did you get a chance to go to light when you had, were you a spirit that was walking the earth and so on? And she inevitably releases them with forgiveness, she has so much compassion and patience and love. She's just wonderful. And she releases them back to the light. And it's always really fascinating to hear how these entities release. And they're usually very, very happy and grateful, and they didn't know that they could go, and they thought maybe they would get in really big trouble. They'd go to hell or something if they release. Or they're feeling really comfortable and safe in this body and they don't want to go. Or they want to stay there because they want to keep punishing the person for what they did. The stories are just endless and they're fascinating.
That is
always, they come in because the person has been vulnerable and has been traumatized in some way.
So here's the thing. What I've found in my work, the way I work, is kind of similar to what you just described. I'll ask the client to breathe into the feeling. You know, we then isolate the feeling by giving it, putting as many senses as I can. Like, all right, what is it? What if you gave it a color? If you gave it a shape? If you gave it a texture? You know, so you get them to feel it, you know. What does it feel like? Really, what does it feel like? So for the first time, they're actually feeling the thing rather than running away from the feeling. At that point, you can say, well, okay, so now give it a little mouth and we'll talk to it. And I say, what do you want? And what do you need us to do? And inevitably, it's still like, what do I want? Oh, somebody to listen to me. Or, you know, yeah. Or it's a single word sometimes. And then that also brings you to the point of the trauma, right? The point where that trauma happened. And we then take the child who was there and, because this is basically, there's basically a whole person that is frozen in time. Like Han Solo in Star Wars. He's frozen in time. This tiny child, and so what you do is you ask them to, you know, go and hold the child's hand. And, that's usually, this is the moment when the heart opens. And I invite them to hug the child. And, you know, let the child let go. Let it hug as much as it wants. And usually, on many occasions, that's the end of it, because the child has then disappeared. They'd be completely integrated into the person. reintegrated. Right. And that's the end of that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go back into that situation, like you were saying, and there's no triggers.
And oftentimes that releases the pain, and the pain doesn't even return.
Oh yeah, because the pain is that inner child saying, "Please, can somebody hear me?" I say, all disease is a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
As I always say, like nobody ever hears. You know, I say loads of things, but nobody's listening. But so I'll just.
Well, it's fascinating because. In my mediation theory that I use, one that I learned is called the transformative model, and that's what they say. It's all conflict is a conversation. Let's have a conflict, or let's have a conversation.
And it's the reason that conflict begins is because somebody stopped listening.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I moved into this cottage, there were four ghosts in here. I could feel this gloomy feeling. I connected with my spirit guides, and I said, "What the heck's going on, guys? Why does it feel so gloomy in the house? Is there a ghost in this house?" And they said, "Yeah, there's four." And I go, "What's four?" It's like, "Okay, all right. So what's happening?" And there's one here, and I was going, "Okay, well, can we clear this lot?" And just before they said, "Excuse me, Lee, what are you doing?" Like they'd noticed me, and I said, "Well, hang on a second, what are you doing here?" And I said, Okay. So it turns out that these two guys bought themselves a bottle of whiskey about 150 years ago, went out onto the moors. This is a bothy, you know, this is a shelter. And they go out onto the moors and, you know, they get drunk and they, you know, find a place to stay and, get into a fight. And 150 years later, they're still fighting, but they killed each other. And they're still fighting. So I was wondering why I wasn't getting a good night's sleep. But after a while, so, you know, eventually we convinced the other one, because one of them sort of figured out what was going on, but the other one wouldn't listen to him. And so the conflict continued. So listening is good. Listening is good with conflict. Somebody's got to stop. Mm-hmm. That's it. Tonight's Journeys with Rebecca, which became Journeys with JP, which became Journeys with Susan, Inner G, and TJ. Thank you so much, Susan. You're brilliant. So come back. We'll talk more.
All right. Thank you so much, JP.
Good night.